The NCAA has three choices, and they've mentioned these. One, the NCAA has to come up with a plan by 2023 where they allow players from around the entire nation playing collegiate sports. That will allow them to earn revenue on their own name and their likeness and their image. It would allow Joe Burrow, Tua, Jalen Hurts, etc., etc., etc. They go out and they can promote their self because they are who they are. Like if I wanted to promote myself, I can do that. But I'm not an NCAA athlete. Those are the only ones who can't do that. You see pros at commercials all the time. Where you live may not be that big of a college town, but I live in Baton Rouge. My aunt lives in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. She's right there. I have friends that live in Bloomington, Indiana for IU. That's a big college town. Companies around there would love to use them as the face of their company. The second option the NCAA has, and I've heard this has been everywhere on the news, that they're thinking about doing this one more than anything if this happens, which, good luck. Kick California schools out of the NCAA and don't allow them to compete in NCAA collegiate activities, which is a freaking joke. There's no way. Do you understand what schools are in California? There's 32 of them. Here's just five. USC, Stanford, UCLA, California, and California State. Those names I just listed, especially USC and UCLA, probably the most storied franchises, storied colleges when it comes to athletics. In the history of collegiate athletics, whether it's from basketball to football to tennis to golf to diving to swimming, tennis, soccer, doesn't matter. This isn't just college football, people. This is every collegiate sport giving collegiate athletes a chance in California to go make name off their who they are, their likeness, their revenue, their image. And NCAA has thought about it. This gets signed to kick out USC, Stanford, UCLA, California, California State, and the other 32 collegiate schools within the California state. The third option they have is just let California keep the bill. Let them keep it. Let them do that. But that's a problem. That's the worst decision you can make. And let the NCAA do what they do. They don't allow others to do it. But California, the state, ruled it over. So USC, UCLA athletes and all the other California schools can do that, right? North Carolina is working on a similar bill, by the way, to let this happen. The third option is not a real option that can happen. They can't just let California do it and NCAA and the other states don't let them do it. Because if option three was chosen, imagine how pissed Coach O, Coach Saban, Coach Dabo Sweeney would be pissed. Because where are the college athletes going to go? If you have a top five ranked athlete at a high school, and he's getting ready to do his hat ceremony in front of the whole school live on ESPN, right? He's live on ESPN. The high school students getting ready to pick his school. Where's he going to go? Is he going to Alabama? Is he going to Clemson? Is he going to USC, UCLA? He would go to the California school because that's an opportunity for that high school athlete who's set to become a college athlete to earn more revenue and money because they can earn profit off their name and what they do in college. The NCAA has a lot to figure out. We'll touch on this a little bit more when we come back. In the meantime, let's go ahead and go to the Crusade Channel Hotline, and let's welcome in Mark Lane, managing editor for the Texans Wire. Mark, I appreciate the time.
Hey, Corey, good to be on with you.
How you doing?
Doing well. Just, you know, analyzing the Texans versus the Jaguars in some ways. What Gardner Minshew did in week one is a reminder of Deshaun Watson's foray into the NFL, because you remember in week one of 2017, he was inserted into the situation, much like Minshew was in the 40-26 loss at home to the Kansas City Chiefs. However, and incidentally, it was against the Jacksonville Jaguars, that Tom Savage, he was pulled, and then Watson was put in at halftime. The difference, though, is heading into week two. There was the, you know, the facade of ambiguity as to whether Savage would start again or if they were going to go to Watson ahead of their week two Thursday night encounter with the Cincinnati Bengals. But week two, Houston, Jacksonville, Foles broke his collarbone. He's out. Like Jerry Jones would say, Foles isn't an option. And so now they have to go with Gardner Minshew. And so defensive coordinator Romeo Crennel, he knows who the quarterback's going to be. And Houston is 10-1 against rookie quarterbacks. They could very easily make it 11-1 and win their first home opener for the first time since 2016 when they beat the Chicago Bears.
All right, Mark. Texans seem to be in a good spot, though, with their quarterback position. We saw Watson go head-to-head with Drew Brees, just competing with the likes of him in Monday Night Football just the other day. But it was a close game. We'll get to that in a minute. But talk about Watson, because he played darn well. What's the difference you've seen from Deshaun Watson from years past, even last year to now?
It's just getting reps. It's getting time in the system. And it's because of those reps and the experience, you're more decisive with your throws and also where folks are supposed to be. Furthermore, just having the the availability of a guy like Will Fuller. You know, everybody talks about DeAndre Hopkins, which is true, and he should get all the talk. But Will Fuller's a guy that is so reliant upon Deshaun Watson. Like, Deshaun Watson activates him and really makes him a viable threat. So when Fuller's a deep threat like that, it just opens everything up for the Houston offense.
What are some things you think Watson still needs to work on, though?
Throwing the ball away. You know, you being a Cowboys fan, you'll know what I'm talking about. Early in Tony Romo's career, he was always doing Jedi stuff, like getting out of jams and maybe zipping throws right between, you know, then closing arms of a defender to hit Witten, and all of these amazing plays. But they were occurring, like, on 2nd and 7 from your own 19-yard line, leading 7-3 in the third quarter, in the first quarter on the road. It's like, no, let's settle down here. Same kind of thing with Watson. I think that, I mean, it's not that bad, but in terms of scrambling, always trying to keep a play alive, I think that he's got to learn how to manage that. Otherwise, he's going to just keep taking hits that'll add up throughout the season, throughout his career. I think he needs to say